And we need to look through those prison bars and hear what Paul has to say to the church today. And he said it with that kind of affect. And then he began to walk us through Philippians that Paul wrote from a prison cell. And one of the first things that he reminded us that Paul wanted to say to us is what Paul said in the first chapter, I think it's in verse 6 or 7, where Paul said, "He who began a good work in you will see that work to completion." And that was such a good word. That was such good news. Because God has begun a good work in every one of us. God has begun a good work through our forefathers and foremothers nearly 300 years ago. We celebrated our 250th anniversary a few years ago. And God began a good work here in this part of God's creation back in 1757. And that work continues. And our God will see that work to completion. Paul went on then in the second chapter to talk about how God will go about completing that work. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning for the next few minutes. Paul said two things about the work that we're called to do. First of all, in verse 12, Paul said that we are to work out our salvation. And then he adds with fear and trembling. And then he says in the very next verse that God is at work within us, both to will and to act according to his purpose. And so it's those two things that I believe we need to hold in tension. Those two things that need to be balanced within the church if the good ship church is going to continue to plow through the deep dark sea and accomplish the great purposes that God wants to continue working toward in our lives. We need to work out our salvation, and we need to be willing to let God continue his work in us so that God is working and willing within us according to his good pleasure. Now, as I was thinking about this the other day, I tell you, I'm so glad that many of the thoughts that pop into my head as I work on my sermon kind of fade away before I actually do them, because sometimes I'll wake up the next morning and I'll think, what a silly idea. What was I thinking of? Well, I had one of those silly ideas, and I emailed it to Mark, and I said, could you put in the computer this morning that clip from Snow White where the seven dwarves are singing, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go." Because, you know, the theme this morning I knew would be work. And I was so happy when I came in this morning for the early service and found out that while Mark put that in, that it sort of jammed and it didn't work. And I thought, phew, boy, we dodged a bullet on that one. How silly would that be? And then I noticed that the folks who showed up in the early service, they were really game to give it a go. And so, acting it out is always so much better than watching it on video. And so, you're with me, right? I mean, we can do this together, can't we? This clip that I was going to show you begins with one of the dwarfs. I can't remember which it was, but let's call him Dopey, okay? Dopey began by singing, "Hi-ho!" Ship Church is going to continue to plow through the deep, dark sea and accomplish the great purposes that God wants to continue working toward in our lives. We need to work out our salvation, and we need to be willing to let God continue his work in us so that God is working and willing within us according to His good pleasure. Now, as I was thinking about this the other day, I tell you, I'm so glad that many of the thoughts that pop into my head as I work on my sermon kind of fade away before I actually do them, because sometimes I'll wake up the next morning and I'll think, what a silly idea. What was I thinking of? Well, I had one of those silly ideas, and I emailed it to Mark, and I said, could you put in the computer this morning that clip from Snow White where the seven dwarves are singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Because, you know, the theme this morning I knew would be work. And I was so happy when I came in this morning for the early service and found out that while Mark put that in, that it sort of jammed and it didn't work. And I thought, boy, we dodged a bullet on that one. How silly would that be? And then I noticed that the folks who showed up in the early service, they were really game to give it a go. And so, acting it out is always so much better than watching it on video. And so, you're with me, right? I mean, we can do this together, can't we? This clip that I was going to show you begins with one of the dwarfs. I can't remember which it was, but let's call him Dopey, okay? Dopey began by singing, hi-ho, hi-ho. And then all the dwarfs joined in with him to sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Hi-ho, 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 it's off to work we go. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Now, wasn't that fun? Actually, the person who had posted that clip in YouTube works in an Alzheimer's unit and had shared. Now, I'm not getting personal with this, so I'm not making any implication here at all, okay? So wipe those smiles off your face. No, the person who posted it said that he or she works in an Alzheimer's unit and went in one day to the Alzheimer's unit and began singing that, and folks joined in and sang together. And it was really a wonderful moment in the unit that morning, in a place where there's often sort of sadness and blank stares. There was kind of a joining together and singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. Well, the reason I thought of that was that so often when we think of the work of the church or doing the work of God or working out our own salvation, you know, the part we connect with most is doing it with fear and trembling. And I don't think Paul meant when he said fear and trembling was an expression that Paul used often. And it was an expression that he used to mean with intensity, with real purpose. He wasn't saying that we should be fearful and that we should tremble as we do it, but that we should have a sense of intensity and a sense of purposefulness, if there is such a word, as we continue to work out our salvation. And it reminded me of that time when a group of us were down in Ashland City, Tennessee, last year on a work camp. You know, the year before, in 2009, I guess it was, no, 2010, there were these terrible floods in the Cumberland River Valley, and they opened up these gates so that Nashville, Tennessee wouldn't be flooded. But what that meant was that much of the farmland and a number of the villages and a number of the homes that were right along the Cumberland River were flooded out. And so Brethren Disaster went down there, and we built a number of new houses. And then our crew, when we went down there last year, we spent the first part of the week working, doing the finishing work in three or four of those houses. And by this time, the air conditioning was already on, and we were working inside. It was 103 degrees. The humidity was at 90%. And we got to work inside with the air conditioner. We felt pretty good about that. And we could sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. The last day that we were there, we had done everything that we could do in finishing these houses, and we were to begin a new house. But before the new house could be begun, there was a foundation that needed to be torn down so that a new slab could be poured and this new house could then be built on a new foundation. And so the last day we're there, it's 103 degrees, 90% humidity, and we were given sledgehammers to smash down these thick walls reinforced with rebar, and then break it up into smaller pieces that we could fill the wheelbarrows with and take down over the hill and dump into a hole that was there. And I want to tell you, we were still able to sing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, because we were doing God's work, and we were doing it together. And the couple whose house would be rebuilt were an elderly couple who were living literally in a shed. I think it was the Red Cross came in and installed an 8x12 shed. And they put some of that Tyvek wrap around it so that they lived there over the winter, so the wind wouldn't blow through the shed. And they were living there. And they were there with their birds and their dogs as we were tearing the foundation down, anticipating a new house that would be built for them. And doing God's work makes you want to sing. It's off to work we go. And so as we're working out our salvation, it's not like, you know, the kind of workout we thought we would get when we bought those stationary bikes and those Nordic tracks. And I still have my Nordic track that I never use anymore, but I bought a Nordic, what's that thing called, Carol? Throw out some words of exercise equipment that you buy for your home. Yes, I bought a Nordic track elliptical machine 2 years ago that I've used a grand total of 3 times. That was on sale for $300, so it only cost me $100 each time. And that's way better stewardship than some of the things that I've spent money. But, you know, we buy things and we, with good intentions. We make a commitment to Christ with good intentions, and then it begins to dawn on us that, you know, that this is going to require a little bit of elbow grease and a little bit of maybe getting up early in the morning before we go to work to pray and do those kinds of things. And somehow it's not the kind of work that we feel like singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go. But listen, when we're doing God's work, as we're working out our salvation, listen, it's salvation that is a gift from our God. So we don't have to save ourselves. It's not like we're out in the deep blue sea without a life jacket and somehow we need to save ourselves. It is a gift from our God that we receive and work into our lives. It's kind of like it is when we're making communion bread for our love feast. We get together with people we love, and we work the dough together. And it's a joyful kind of thing. And that's the way it is to work out our salvation. We are working God's salvation into our lives. However, we can only do that if, at the same time, we allow God to work in us. You see, it's kind of like breathing. Once you've breathed out as much air as you can breathe out, you can't do it anymore until you breathe in some new air. And this business of walking with Jesus is, It's an exercise in breathing. We take in to ourselves the great things of God, God's saving grace, so that we can then breathe out God's grace and God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love on those who are around us. And so we must hold those two in tension, bringing in the good things that God is seeking to do in our lives so that we can work out God's salvation into the lives of others. We work in, we work out. We breathe in, we breathe out. And many times, those of us, those who are wired like us, who have a very good work ethic, you know, we don't want to take time to pray. We don't want to take time to reflect and meditate on the goodness of our God because there's too much work to be done. And so we run out of gas because often we find ourselves attempting to do God's work with our own energy, with our own strength, using our own wisdom. And it's only as we take in God's goodness, God's strength, God's energy, that we're able to work out God's saving ways. Now, I use that word energy because actually the word that Paul uses there, the Greek word, where it says, God is at work in you. And the word is energeo. And it's where our word energy comes from. That it is only as God energizes our lives. It's only as we take within ourselves the energy of the living God that we have the energy to work out our salvation and to work God's saving ways into the people and the culture around us. And so we must take in God's energy. And listen, another interesting point, at least it was interesting to me. This word, energeo, is the same word that's used when it talks about God's working to resurrect Jesus from the dead. That's the kind of energy it is. It's not human energy. It's divine energy that God wants to put in our lives so that we can continue, so that the work that has begun in us can be brought to completion as we take God's energy within us. There's a parable that, it's an old one that you've probably heard before, about a fellow who was shipwrecked, and he was on a deserted island, and he began to pray, "Oh Lord, save me. Send someone to rescue me from this deserted island." Well, he prayed that every day, but he also worked to build a hut. He also worked to gather food. And that's kind of the way it is in life, that we, on the one hand, we're asking God to save us from our sin and save us from the pitfalls and foibles of this life. But at the same time, we recognize that we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world, and we're called to continue living in this world. And so this man, every day he prayed to be saved, but he also worked to build a hut and to gather food and so on and so forth. Well, one day he was out gathering food, and he came back, and much to his horror, his hut was on fire. And he was crushed. He cried out, "God, why did you do this to me?" And as he cried himself to sleep that night, out on the sand, he was a broken man. The next day, he awakened to begin another day. when he noticed off on the horizon a ship heading toward him. The ship got close enough to send out a lifeboat, a rescue party. And he said, "How did you know that I was here?" And they said, "Well, we saw the fire that you lit." You see, folks, many times, the very moments when we feel most alone, most forsaken, God is at work in us, working in the circumstances of our lives, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I want to share with you the challenge that I left with those who participated in the closing ceremonies at annual conference this past Wednesday. I charged us to go home, to return to our prayer closets, and to pray, "Oh God, continue your work in me so that I am able to do what is well pleasing to you." And so I want to challenge each of us to return to our prayer closets and pray in that way. "Oh God, continue your work in me so that it will be well pleasing to you." You know, many times we go to our prayer closets and we're aware of all of these prayer concerns, and we heard some of them here this morning. And what are God's prayer concerns? What are the things that are on God's heart? "Oh God, continue your work in our lives so that our lives will reflect what is pleasing to you." I also challenge us to return to our home congregations and in our worship, come together and not worry so much about whether or not we're singing our favorite hymns, or whether or not the pastor's sermon is clever, or whether or not we run into some of our friends, or whether or not we have our flavor of coffee, but we would come together and gather together and in our worship say, "Oh God, may all that we do in this place today be well pleasing to you." Doesn't matter if we don't sing the hymns that I want to sing. Doesn't matter if the preacher doesn't preach what I want to hear. Doesn't matter if my flavor of coffee. Oh God, we are here to worship you. May our worship be well-pleasing to you. And then the final challenge was that when we gather together in our ministry teams and in our committees and in our leadership teams and in our church boards, that we would take our agenda and set it aside. Not throw it away, but just set it aside and say, "Oh God, what is your agenda for your church?" May we choose to do that which is well pleasing to you. That is my prayer for us as we continue, as God's work continues in us, that we would be open vessels inviting the mighty work of our God to be at work in us, both to will and to work according to His good purposes. Let's rise to our feet.